streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
I'm Kim Grinnell of Dogman.com and monumental day at University of Washington with the hire of the head coach at Fresno State University, Kalen DeBoer. And there will be a press conference on Tuesday morning at 11:30 up at University of Washington. But a lot of questions. Who is this guy? What kind of staff did he have? Who's going to bring with him? What kind of offense does he run? What kind of defense does he run? A lot of questions, so nobody better to answer those questions with us than the co-founder of the Jake Haner Fan Club down there at Fresno State, Jackson Moore from the Bark Board. How are you, Jackson?
I'm doing well, Kim. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. How's the Jake Haner Fan Club going along? Is he going to be back next year?
Well, we'll have to see if he's satisfied with how the coaching direction goes, but it was looking like earlier in the year he might have a special season, and it was still a pretty good season, but maybe not quite good enough to depart for next season.
Give us an idea. We don't know who Kalen DeBoer is, except what we see on paper. Tell us a little bit about his personality, what he's like to deal with, and just overall impressions of the man himself.
Yeah, I think that's maybe what's most impressive of him overall is just the guy he is. I mean, he was coordinator here at Fresno State for 2 years before being the head coach, of course, and a year off in between. And at Fresno State, I usually get a lot more one-on-one time with the coordinators and the head coach, the way it works out. And it was just really nice to deal with and talk with, and just a really family oriented guy. Really one of the true good guys in college football. You just know he's very genuine, and that's almost what made this move kind of a shock to Fresno State. It did sound like he intended to stay here a little bit longer. And the way that most people in this community know him to be for 4 out of the last 5 years, that you really take him for his word. So that was a little bit surprising, and really the only bad word I think anyone in Fresno will have to say about the guy, about the exit, of course. But overall, I mean, just a really good guy. I mean, yeah, I don't think anyone will have a complaint about the man who Kalen DeBoer is in Seattle.
Tell us about him running the Fresno State program. What kind of a coach was he?
He knows what he's doing. I mean, there was no doubt that he was ready to be a head coach, that he's done it for quite some time, even if it was at a lower level. He is, it ran very similar to how Jeff Tedford ran the program, a little bit different. I mean, he's a little a little more friendly maybe with the media, and a little more willing to do some of that stuff, to be the figure of the face and the voice of the program and stuff. But as far as behind the scenes go and practices go, it ran just as smooth as it did under a veteran head coach and Jeff Tedford. And he tweaked a few things, but for the most part, the groundwork that him and Tedford laid a few years back were still there and operated without a hitch. And that's one of the main reasons they hired him. They wanted that continuity, and he definitely brought it.
Was it his offense that they ran this year, or does he let the offensive coordinator take those reins?
I would say it's tough to really tell. I think it's a bit of a hybrid. I think he probably had more control than he'd be willing to say on the record. But looking at 2017 and 18, when he was here the first time, it did seem like those offenses were a little more maybe balanced and well-rounded. The offense this past 2 years, whether it's personnel or whether it was his offensive coordinator tweaking things a little bit, but it was a lot more pass happy. The Bulldogs were armed with Jake Haner and just a crazy wealth of talent at receiver for a Mountain West school. So they definitely aired it out. They had some setbacks and reined it in a little bit, but yeah, it looked like a different offense than when he was here the first time, but not by a large degree. So it'll be interesting to see how he handles that at Washington and who his coordinator will eventually be.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at what he's done the last couple of years at Fresno State, what could Washington fans expect offensively for him to run up here?
Yeah, one of the biggest staples was his use of the tight end. The first 2 years he was here as coordinator, the second year, their tight end, Jared Rice, he set all the tight end records at Fresno State, receiving wise. And they didn't quite have one of those guys to go to these past two seasons. And again, the receivers changed some things. But you look at that 1 year at Indiana, I believe it was very similar to how he ran it at Fresno State. One go-to receiver, and then your tight end's basically your number two guy. Offense was a bit different the past 2 years at Fresno State than what we were used to seeing from him. But you're going to see a multiple offense. There's typically going to be three receivers on the field, the one running back, one tight end. He will recruit. He'll look for about eight scholarship tight ends to have at his disposal if he can, and have a lot of two tight end sets to work with as well. A really good balance of power smash mouth running along with some spread it out passing concepts. And with the, he'll play to his strengths, but the goal is to be very multiple, very balanced, and always keeping the defense on their toes, which for the most part worked very well here.
You know, his offensive coordinator, Ryan Grubb, when, looking at the Washington job, I know one of the priorities was to hire a coach who could develop Sam Huard, the five-star quarterback up here. Would you say that Coach DeBoer spends more time with the quarterbacks, or did he leave that to Ryan Grubb down at Fresno?
At least just observing practice, Grubb seemed to handle that the majority himself. During the closed periods, I assume DeBoer was more active with that because he does have much more experience with the quarterbacks than Coach Grubb. Grubb was actually the O-line coach for the first 2 years they were both here. When DeBoer left, Grubb got the offensive coordinator job and still did some O-line work, but eventually transitioned to quarterback. So not quite the quarterback developer probably that DeBoer is himself, but DeBoer knows more than well. If he needs to step in, he'll do that as well. And we saw it with Jake Haener. He made a big leap from year one to year two here. And the previous time when Coach DeBoer was here, he took over Marcus McMarion, who was a transfer from Oregon State, hadn't had a lot of success there, and won 22 games in the Mountain West Championship with him. So the resume is solid. But we'll see what kind of the ratio is between DeBoer and Grubb moving forward, or whoever else he brings in.
I'll get over into some of the other coaches, but here in a little bit. But talk to me about the defensive side of the ball. Is he getting that involved in the defense or letting his coordinator run it?
It looks like the Bulldogs hired him for continuity, and then it was kind of a shock. He came in and pretty much overhauled the whole defensive staff. It looked like he perhaps wanted to implement a particular scheme, which was a 4-2-5. But I think as far as the coaching, once he hired his guys, they pretty much ran it from there. William Inge was was the special teams coordinator at Indiana when DeBoer was there for one season and came along with him to Fresno State. And it seems like Inge pretty much ran the defense from there, but did have his hand in just picking out the 4-2-5 defense and kind of changing that side of the ball for the Bulldogs as a whole.
When you take a look, let's just go over to the offensive side of the ball. How many of those coaches would you anticipate coming to Washington with him? Who would you anticipate him bringing?
I would expect Ryan Grubb to be involved. I'm not sure if they would look for maybe a bigger hire as their offensive coordinator, but Grubb would be involved in some capacity. I am certain they've been at several stops together way before Fresno State. So it looks like those two of them will stay. Also interesting, Grubb was the interim head coach 2 years ago when Tedford left, and they picked Lee Marks this time around, which was odd. It makes it seem like Grubb's probably going to be in Seattle sooner rather than later. Marks is a part of that DeBoer Grubb family that dates back to Sioux Falls. If you look at the staff at Fresno State, a lot of the guys that DeBoer brought in were a part of Sioux Falls in the 2000s, and I would anticipate pretty much all those guys are going to follow. But on the offensive side, there's not as many, but I would look for Marks. I would look for Grubb. Roman Sapolu, the offensive line coach, has been with both Grubb and DeBoer now for a couple of years and has good connections. So I would probably anticipate he would make that move. And it seems like a very good fit for Kirby Moore to go as well. The ties aren't as deep, but obviously between his ties to Boise State and Coach Peterson, I mean, Moore's just been a total home run for Fresno State. I'm very surprised he's still here, to be honest. The way he's recruited and coached the Bulldogs have been very lucky to have Kirby Moore for 5 years.
Tell us a little bit about Roman Saapulu. You know, I've heard some things, a great recruiter, maybe not as good of a recruiter. Tell us a little bit about, excellent recruiter, maybe not as good of a coach.
Yeah, the O-line was definitely the weakest part of Fresno State's offense now 2 or 3 years running, which was his post for the last 2 years. He was kind of a secondary assistant, as there was an O-line coach, and then he was an assistant to the O-line coach's first year, and then he was the full-term guy the last 2 years. And part of that's relative. I mean, Fresno State was very well-stocked, more so than usual at the skills positions and at quarterback, but they did take a step forward. 2020 was really bad coming off the COVID year. They had no offseason. They were the last team to report to campus and FBS football off of the pandemic. So they were definitely behind, and they made a step forward this year. Good, but probably not far enough to what the Bulldogs needed to kind of get over the hump. Definitely a solid recruiter. In addition to the recruits that he's pulled in, there's been a few other guys, a few transfers and kind of late additions that didn't pan out at other schools that he either brought in or didn't quite work out at the last minute. There was a chance for a few other guys with some big names to be on that Bulldog O-line that would have been all Saapulu's doing. But yeah, the O-line definitely left some things to be desired, and Ryan Grubb led the O-line before that. And it's bizarre because the first 2 years, everyone was at Fresno State. The O-line was made up of a bunch of JUCOs and walk-ons. There was like 1 3-star recruit, and that O-line turned out to be one of the most productive in Fresno State history in preventing sacks. And then when they all brought in their recruits with bigger stars and names, didn't go so well since then. So that was probably the one stink of the offense in terms of the last couple of seasons.
Looking over the defensive side of the ball, the name that kind of jumps out is a guy that was here for a while and his brother played at University of Washington. That's J.D. Williams. He's Curtis Williams' brother, and he was here for a little while. But you think I know that, you know, J.D. has some pretty healthy roots in the Fresno area. It seems like a logical fit for him to be at Fresno State. Is that a guy that you think might stay put or be out of a job or possibly come back up here?
Yeah, I think probably the most likely scenario is that he stays, especially if it works out to where Jeff Tedford ends up at Fresno State, which seems to be in the cards. He originally brought Williams on his staff 5 years ago. Also, the Bulldogs ran a 4-2-5 defense, and there was almost a logjam, I would say. They had a cornerbacks coach, a safeties coach, and a nickels back coach. There was, I think it was kind of to keep everyone happy and get some good recruiting in and keep JD on staff and get DeBoer's safeties coach in. So I think they could probably get by with 2 coaches at those positions, perhaps as they move forward. And Coach Juice, Julius Brown, and Chuck Morrell, his safeties coach. Those 2 guys are probably higher in the pecking order for DeBoer to bring with him, I would say.
Yeah, who's most? I mean, if you're a Husky fan and you're looking at that defensive side of the ball and the coaching staff, who are the 1 or 2 guys that you'd be really excited to have join the staff?
Yeah, I mean, William Inge orchestrated the defense as the coordinator, and he is a very entertaining man. I don't know if what Coach DeBoer has planned. I know his relationship with Coach Inge isn't as long, and if he wanted to hire a different defensive coordinator, he could go that route, but Inge is definitely a kind of a one-of-a-kind person, and he lacks no sort of entertainment with the way that he coaches and speaks with the media. You know, his defense didn't look great the first year coming off the COVID, as mentioned. It was nearly impossible to install that scheme in 3 or 4 weeks they had to get ready for the season, but made huge steps this year. And I think the biggest credit to the defense is that they didn't lose a game for the Bulldogs this year. The Fresno State went 9-3. They turned the ball over 12 times in those 3 losses, and pretty much the defense held their own in all of those games, despite some of the scores there. Chuck Morrell was very impressive to me. He was a safeties coach. He made a lot of strides with Fresno State safety Evan Williams. I think he deserves a lot of credit. And Julius Brown, who is the nickels backs coach, they named that position the Husky at Fresno State, ironically. He was very good for the Dogs recruiting. So if he also goes along, he'll be a really good pipeline to Sacramento area recruiting for Washington.
One of the big questions coming about when Chris Peterson took over up here, it took him about a year to adjust in, you know, it's one thing to recruit against competing with Boise State, but you come into Washington and butting heads with Michigan, USC, UCLA, you know, the big boys. He got his nose bloodied a few times, and that's going to be a big question, you know, with Kalen DeBoer about upping the recruiting battles. He's going to go into an arena he hasn't done before, and you know what it's like. I mean, you cover Cal. It's a big difference when you're recruiting a different type of athlete. How do you think that's going to go with Coach DeBoer?
I think the key will be perhaps who he hires and some of the recruiting staff. He should get a much bigger budget to work with there than he did at Fresno State. But the first thing Coach DeBoer did, as far as recruiting goes, was hiring Courtney Morgan in his first season in 2020. And Courtney Morgan was very, very largely responsible for putting together the Mountain West's best recruiting class. And when he departed after a year, he brought in Albert Garcia, who has also done a very good job and handled a lot of that load in the director of player personnel role. So Courtney Morgan moved to Michigan, his alma mater, but I know we've reported at 24/7 Sports that he's interested in a position coach job, perhaps. And if he landed on DeBoer staff coaching, I mean, that would be a total game changer for Washington. And I would imagine that that would be one of the options for DeBoer, given how much of the recruiting he handled for Fresno State. So ultimately, I don't know how directly DeBoer was involved in landing a lot of the guys Fresno State did, even going back to his coordinator role, but he definitely knows who and how to hire to get the job done and deferring some of those duties to those particular coaches and the support staff.
Big question. Where's Jeff Tedford going to wind up? I mean, lots of, you know, talk up in the Seattle area that he was involved with Chris Peterson and Bob Stoops and, you know, the search process and possibly even the interview process. And we all know that Chris Peterson and Jeff Tedford are pretty tight, but, you know, Tedford's got that Fresno connection. Do you actually think that Jeff Tedford will go back to coaching at Fresno State? If not, could you see him as an offensive coordinator at Washington?
I believe he wants to come back, and I think most likely it would be in a head coaching position is what he would certainly prefer. He definitely had some health issues that led to his departure from Fresno State. And if there was some aspect to that where he felt he could be a coordinator and not a coach and handle it better health-wise, then I think that would be in the cards, but that's not quite what I'm hearing. And I think, you know, there was very I don't think it was coincidental that his name started popping up for a potential comeback when DeBoer started getting connected to this Washington job. The timing was very convenient. And I do think Tedford would like to return to his job that he gave up 2 years ago. Will it work out? I'm not sure. There's some things both Fresno State and Coach Tedford would have to work through to make that happen. But I think that's probably the kind of the front runner scenario down here.
Well, it's kind of odd that we thought anyways that a lot of talk about Tedford taking over down there, and a lot of it seemed to make a natural fit and make a lot of sense, but then we're told that Fresno State hired a search firm.
Yeah, I think part of it is they have to go pretty much through a 14-day period. They were able to skirt that a little bit last time around, but only by a couple of days. They have to follow this plan and that the state rules set out, and even if they had their guy day one, they can't really show their cards, and it's got to look like a legitimate search. They've got to interview so many people and spend so much time doing it. And so I think also, you know, Coach Tedford got a contract here the first time around that was not sustainable for a Mountain West school. He really racked up some dollars that Fresno State was not going to be able to keep up. So Fresno State's certainly going to need to have some other options and some negotiating chips so that they don't get run into a inflated contract a second time around.
What was DeBoer making? 1.2, 1.3?
Yeah, 1.3 with like a $50,000 increase each season. So that was definitely winded down from Tedford's, which was more incentive based, but there were so many incentives. I think he left with $2 or $3 million after that 2018 season, which is not in Fresno State's ballpark. They did not anticipate that success to come so quickly with that contract.
You hire a coach and you don't expect him to be that successful, so you put the incentives in there and he meets them all, huh? And they complain. Oh, well, anyways, Jackson, anything else we need to know about the situation with, you know, Fresno staff members and Coach DeBoer coming up here to Seattle?
I covered it pretty well. I mean, I think Washington fans have a lot to be excited about. Coach DeBoer has been successful everywhere he's been. He's pretty much left every place better than he found it. And I don't see why any reason that wouldn't be the case in Washington. He's the real deal. And it'll be interesting to see maybe long-term how it works out, but I certainly think in the short term, Washington will be headed in the right direction with him and his staff.
All right. Jackson, thanks for coming on. And for those of you not familiar, you know, the Bark Board's been around a long time. Jackson does a great job down covering Fresno State and also the California site. So he's got his hands in a lot of different things, and we appreciate you coming on with us.
Thank you for having me.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.